Okay, I guess we're going to start. We're on Tanis, Taf Shav Tes, Amid Aleph on the top. And the Shiur is sponsored, as always, by Gary and Toby Greenstein, in memory of Yomi, Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon, and the breakfast, sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishma Shem and Ben Zev, Vega Bas Chaim. Thank them for their sponsorships. We're on the top of Chavtas Amud Aleph, the second line. And the Gemara, referring back to what it says in the Mishnah, it says, B'tisha B'av Nigzar Alav Aseinu Shelo Yikonsu La'aretz. On Tisha B'av was when the Jews in the Midbar were told that they were not going to be able to go quickly into Eretz Yisrael like the original plan, but that they were going to remain in the Midbar and they were going to die there in the Midbar, and then their children were going to be going into Eretz Yisrael. We know that happened on Tisha B'av. The Gemara over here is wondering, well, where did that Masorah come from? It doesn't say so in the Pesukim directly. And so how did we know that that event happened on Tisha B'av? So we're going to go through Pesukim now. It's interesting. I mean, depending on how you learn Chumash, it may be obvious to you that you follow along the chronology of the Pesukim in Sefer B'Midbar, and that you'll know all of this on your own. But the Gemara kind of talks us through it. And here's what it says. Minalan, how do we know that that happened on Tisha B'Av? Dichsiv. Vayihi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis b'yachad l'chodesh hukam hamishkan. Now, truth is that I don't entirely understand why these first couple of psukim had to be presented over here as part of the cheshbon. But it says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, and it's given here, the date is given, as Rosh Chodesh Nisan of Shana Hashenis, of the second year, which means that it was a year after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hukam Mishkan, that's when the Mishkan was built and it was assembled. The Yomar Mar, and the Tana says, this is in a Braisa, Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Esa Mishkan. During the first year, Moshe Rabbeinu was collecting the materials and building the Mishkan. Vishnia Hekim Moshe Esa Mishkan. And the beginning of the second year, namely the first day of the second year, that was when the Mishkan was set up. It was actually more than just set up. It was set up, and then the Miluim, the 12 days of the Hanukkah Sanasiyim, happened starting on that day. And then it says here at the end of this braisa, Shalach Meraglim. And also during that second year, the Meraglim were sent out. So this doesn't really help us too much. Let's just see what the rest of the Psukim say. Uksiv. Okay, now we're going to be traveling through Psukim in Sefer Bamidbar, where all of these events are described. Uksiv. It says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Tayhi b'shana hashenis b'chodesh hasheni b'yasrim b'chodesh na'ala he'anan me'al mishkan ho'idus. Now this, the context of the pasuk is that it had just described that you have to have chatzotzros, you have to make the trumpets, and the trumpets are going to have several functions. One of the functions will be to announce that we're on the move, that the anan was moving, and that we're going to be packing up, and that we're ready to move. And the pasuk says that when was the first time that was used, that happened, was B'Shana HaShenis, the second year, B'Chodesh HaSheni, that's Iyar, B'Esrim B'Chodesh, the 20th of Iyar, which is just, this is in Baha'al Oscha, so the previous Psukim describe the Pesach Sheni story, that when there were a couple of people were told, you know, we're going to be making a Karm Pesach, and a couple of people were Tameim, and they asked, well, we want to have an opportunity, and so the Chumash gives the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni at that time. Well, that was just the prior week. And now, a week later, the trumpets are sounded and the people are going to be on the move. That was on Chaf Iyar of that second year. Uksiv, Vayesum Eihar Hashem Derech Shalosh Yamin. And it says on that occasion, they traveled a three-day journey till they got to their next stop. It says, and then there was when they went into Midbar Paran. They left from, during this whole time, that first year plus, they were in Midbar Sinai. And then at this time was when they packed up and they left and they entered into Midbar Paran. Everything changed when they got into Midbar Parah. But in any case, it says over here that that was a 3 days later. So what's the date so far? Chaf Gimel of Iyar. Amar Rebbe Chama Bar Chanina. Oso Hayom Saru Meachrei Hashem. That day, the people had already transformed a bit and moved away from Hashem. The indication of that is from Saru Mehar Hashem. Rashi quotes from the intent of this medrash is based on the pasuk Vayisu Mehar Hashem is Maher, as if they quickly left from Hashem. And then what immediately happens? V'hasaf sufa sher b'kirbo hisavu ta'ava v'yashuva v'yivku gam b'nei Yisrael, and they say, we need to have meat. So then the people complained that they need meat. And uksiv, and the pasuk says they were promised meat, and the meat was going to be not for 1 day, 5 days, it was going to be for a full month. At chodesh yamim. Okay, and then that whole tragedy of the slav, all of that took place over the course of the next month. So this brings us to which date at that point? So that would be, we were at around the 23rd of Iyar. So plus a month brings us to the 23rd, where the Gemara says here, 22nd of Sivan. So we're at Sivan 22. Uksiv. And at that point also, all of the events of Bahaloscha, all of this, Bahaloscha is all happening during this time. It says, and right away at that point, it says, "Va'tadabir Miriam, b'Aaron, b'Moshe." Miriam and Aaron speak against Moshe, and Miriam comes down with tzaras. And it says, and Moshe prays for her, but Hashem says, "Look, I can't take away the tzaras right away. She's going to have it for a week." And it says, "Va'tisager Miriam shivas yamim." So she had tzaras for a week, and the Havaluhu Esrim v'Tisha b'Sivan. So now this brings us to day 29 of Sivan. Uksiv, that's the end of Parshas Bahaloscha, and the opening words of Shalach, where it says, Shalach lecha anashim v'yasuru. The Meraglim are sent out, presumably, I guess, that day, 29th of Sivan. And V'tanya, and the Braisa confirms, B'yasrim v'tisha b'sivan shalach Moshe Meraglim. That confirms that what the calculation, that the 29th of Sivan is when the Meraglim were sent out. Uksiv, Ayeshuva mitaretz meketz arboim yom. And how long were the Meraglim? For 40 days. So that would bring us 40 days after 29 Sivan, brings us to 29 Tammuz, plus 10 days later, falls out on Tisha B'Av. Gemara's not completely comfortable with that because of, you know, the whole question of the endpoints and overlapping events. It says, wait a minute, but hani arboim yom nachichad havu, but that would only bring us 39. Really, 40 should have been the 10th of. Abaye says, yeah, okay, but I mean, tamuz de'ahishata meluye mal yuha. Well, yeah, not necessarily because, you know, it depends on how many days did Sivan have and the Tammuz have, and so either of these could have been Malei Chaser, and then the dates themselves may have been off by one, but that's our Mesorah, is that it fell on Tisha B'Av itself. Diksiv, then the Gemara has a Pasuk over here in Eicha, which reputedly confirms this. Diksiv, Kara Alay Moed Lishbor Bachurai. This is an allusion to Moed. Rashi makes it seem as if this is something to do with Rosh Chodesh. Not that clear to me exactly what the limud is. Uksiv akisakal hoidava yednuas kolam vayivkoham balayla hahu. Pasuk says that everybody cried and lamented their terrible fate in what? In being forced to have to enter a land which they're going to be destroyed because they wouldn't be able to stand up against these Canaanim that are in the place. And so they vayivku am balaylahu. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba quotes Rabbi Yochanan, saying that day was Tisha B'Av, and Amar leMakadosh Baruch Hu, Atem bechisem bechiyah shalchinam. You people are crying over nothing. I didn't tell you were going to be in trouble. I told you this will be fine. You guys are crying for absolutely nothing. Vani koveya lechem bechiladoros. So I'll give you something to cry about. on this day. So this day became marked as a day of tragedy. And Charav HaBayis B'Rishona, Dechsiva B'Chodesh HaChamishi B'Shiva L'Chodesh, He Shanas Tisha Esrei Shana L'Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. But it was the Rad and Rav Tabachim, Eved Melech Bavel Yerushalayim, Yisrofes Beis Hashem Gomer. And the Pasuk in Malachim just gives you all the specifics. It says that in the fifth day, in the fifth month, which is Av, the Shiva Lechodesh, in the seventh day of Av, it says that's when Nebuzaradan came and burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. But something is wrong with that. That would be on the seventh day. Uksiv b'chodesh ha-chamishi be'asr l'chodesh. He shenas t'shasri l'malach nebuchad ratzim melech rabba bon abozerad and rav tabachim. In Yirmiyahu, when the same event is described in the Sefer Yirmiyahu, at the end of Malachim, a lot of the events are described in both places, end of Malachim as well as in Yirmiyahu. So over here, there's a little discrepancy. It says that this was on the 10th of Av. It says, etc. Now the Brisa reconciles. The Brisa just points out the discrepancy. How do you reconcile? B'shiva nifnesu nafrim leheichal. V'yachal v'kilkulubo. Shvi'i v'shmini, and on Shi'i, Samach Lach HaShecha, he Yitzisa Bo Sa'ur, Hayadolet V'holech Kol Hayom Kulo. It says here, what happened was that on the 7th was when the Bavlim actually entered the Beis HaMikdash, and they just despoiled the place, and had a good time for a couple of days, it says, and then they had enough and they just burnt the place down starting the end of Tisha B'Av, and it burned on the 10th of Av. Shene'amar oi lanu kipana hayom, ki inatu tzlolei erev. Okay, so that indicates that it is toward the end of the day. The ayin of the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that is why Rabbi Yochanan kind of is on record as having said, that if they had consulted me, if I was living at that time and they consulted me, when would be the right day for a commemoration for the Churban? Lo kavatev el b'asiri. I would have made the day of fasting the 10th day. Mipnei sherubo shaleichal bo nisraf. Well, that would have of course also wrecked the alignment with the Meraglim, at least according to the way it's been described until now. And, okay, in any case, apparently there was a certain amount of discretion that was involved in deciding which day was going to be the day of commemoration. It wasn't as if this was mandated by Yekadosh Baruch Hu, even though these fast days seemed to have been prescribed. In any case, it says that there was some...
Very well could have just been saying, like, I mean, this is a more important thing, so to speak. And then we're tackling, like, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's why we're fasting on Tisha B'Av. Other things happen too. The Meraglim, those are like.
Yeah, that's so true, for sure. It wasn't. It wasn't as if they were attempting to align all these things, right? The Rabbanan aschalta de pornus aditha. But the Gemara says, what were those Tanoim at the time thinking when they established that day? It says they were thinking aschalta de pornus aditha, is that when the tragedy began? That's really when you commemorate the tragedy. Even though it kept rolling on by itself for longer and more of the destruction happened later, but when it all was started on the 10th was the time to commemorate the disaster. Well, b'shniyam, you know, and how do you know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed also on Tisha B'Av? The Sanya, because the Braisa says, Megalgalin zechus liyom zakai v'chovo liyom chayav. The Brisa says, well, because you know how it goes. There are lucky days, and then there are unlucky days. And Tisha B'Av is an unlucky day. Amru kishachar beis hamigdash barishona, osayom, erev Tisha B'Av haya, amotzei Shabbos haya, amotzei Shviyas haysa, amishmarta shal Yehoyarev haysa. Okay, so there's a Brisa that gives us a little bit more information over here. it wasn't necessarily required for purposes of this calculation. Well, maybe the first line it says Erev Tisha B'Av Haya when Beis Hamikdash was Charev. Okay, Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. I think there's a gear set question here about that line. Yeah. Right, so the Bach changes the gear set. What do you mean Erev Tisha B'Av? It was Tisha B'Av itself. It was Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Shviyas. Okay, so this Bryce also confirms that the second Beis HaMikdash was also the Romans. The Romans destroyed it on Tisha B'Av itself. And then it gives some other other identities, identifications of the day. It's Motzei Shabbos. It was Motzei Shviyas, and that was an important, that's an important point to make. It was Motzei Shviyas. That means that the Shemitah year should be able to be calculated based on that point of fact, because we know when the Churban was. That's something that has that's well documented. And if that's when the Shemitah was, then we ought to be able to roll forward 777 for all Shemitah calculations and be able to figure out when Shemitah is. Problem is that we don't seem to be observing Shemitah on a day, on a year that would be in accordance with this statement. And so that leads the Rishonim. This was known already in the times of the Gaonim, that there was a question about which year was the actual Shemitah year. Okay, but anyway, we just follow whatever the Masorah is that identifies it until we have better evidence. Because maybe that Erev, what that means that Motzei Shviyas Haisa, Motzei Shemitah, might mean, look, this is happening in the end of the year, it's Av. So maybe what it means is that it was the tail end of Shemitah, which means that it was a Shemitah year. But maybe it doesn't mean that. So because there's an ambiguity as to what the actual intent of the line itself is, so we can't really stake all that much on this line because we're not 100% sure exactly what was the statement that was being made over here.
But we're within like 1 year.
Yeah, we're within a year. Yeah. Yeah. Well, not only take we have to have a resolution because we observe it, and so we follow so. Halevim haya omrim shira, the Levim. We're trying to keep things going as normally as possible to the last minute. The omdim al duchanam, and they were standing on their platforms. Mashira hayomrim, ayashav aleim es onam uvarasam yatsmi seim, and we know that to be the end of the shir shel yom of Wednesday. Velo hispiku lomar, the last three words yatsmi seim Hashem elokeinu ad shebo nachrim vekavshum, until the nachrim came and interrupted the whole proceedings. And conquered. Okay, so that's what it says. Lechein b'shniya nilka de beiter. I don't want to think b'shniya nilka de beiter. That was another one of the Tisha B'Av events. The Gemara says, well, we don't have a lot of documentation on this. It's simply Gemara. That's our Masorah. That's the tradition. Was that happened on Tisha B'Av. And also the next event, Necher Shah Ha'ir. Necher Shah Ha'ir, that Yerushalayim was not only was destroyed, but they actually came and they obliterated as much of it as they could, plowing the whole place. Tanya Kesheharav Turinus Rufus Harasha Esahechal. Okay, that was just a thing. Bryce says, when Turinus Rufus Harav, or Harash, it says on the side, that was the whole point of this, is that it was Necher Shah Ha'ir, it was plowed. Cloud meaning that you didn't have any bit of the remaining of the early structure left. Nigzera gzera Rabban Gamliel laharega, that the gzera was made for by the Romans, that Rabban Gamliel was to be executed. Bo Adon echad v'yamad b'veis hamidrash. So one nobleman, I guess, came and understood what was going on, and he comes to the Beis Medrash. The Yamar, Balachotem is Bakesh, Balachotem is Bakesh. He says, I need the guy with the nose, I need the nose guy. So Shama Raman Gamliel, the Nasi, understands who was being sought. Azal and Tashimina, so he sneaks out. Azal Agabe Bitsina. So he meets up with him on the sly, privately. Amarle. So this nobleman says to Raman Gamliel, Imatziol Nalach. If I save you, Ma'isis Lili Alma Diasi, will you bring me into the Olam Haba? Amar Lei, hey, he says to him, yeah. I guess he means I'll try. I mean, I guess that's what he means. Amar Lei, Ishtabali, swear to me. So he did, Ishtabali. I don't really understand the message, the lesson, the point, or any of this part of the story. I don't know exactly how Ram Gamliel was able to do that. But in any case, Salak Liigra, so this nobleman, after getting confirmation that if he rescues Rabban Gamliel from his fate, that he will earn Olam Haba, and he goes up to the roof, Nafil Umeis, and he goes and he kills himself. Ugamiri, and the significance of this was that we have the tradition, the Ki Gazri Gezelta Umischad Minayu, that when they issue a decree, and one of the members of the whatever, the Senate, somebody dies, then Misbatli LeGezeres Hayu. So then that voids the decree. Okay, that was the whole tactic here. And Yatzisa Baskol Vayamra Adon Ze Mizum Lechay Olam Haba. Baskol confirmed that he earned his Olam Haba by that action. Okay, Braisa, new Braisa, another regatta about the Furbut. Tana Rabbanan. Mishacharava Bayis Barishona, when the first Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, this Kabtsu Kitos Shel Perfect Kahuna, groups of young Kohanim gathered Maftechos HaHechal B'yadan. They had the Maftechos of the Heichal, the Olu L'Gaga Heichal, and they went up to the top of the Heichal, the Amru Lefanav, and they say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Hawil V'lo Zachinu L'yos Gizbarin Emanim, since we were unsuccessful at being reliable trustees to keep this place safe, you maftechas mesurios lecha. So we're giving you back your keys. The zarkum klapi ma'alo, yatsasakein pisas yad v'kibal tan mehen. They threw the keys up and a kind of a hand comes down and catches the keys. V'heim kaftsu v'naflu l'socha ur. And then, having done that, they jump into the fire. The Elohen Konen Yeshayahu Hanavi Masa Gechizayon and Malach Efo Kielisa Kulech Legagos Tishuos Maleir Humia Kirya Aliza Halalecha Lochalali Lochalalecha Lochalali Lochalale Cherev Velo Mesa Milchama. Okay, Masa Gen Yeshayahu. Psukim that indicate the type of calamity of the tragedy here on that occasion. Two dots. Okay, not very distant from these other points. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, we cut back on Simcha from the beginning of Av. Amar Rav Yehuda, Vereder Rav Shmuel Bar Shelis Mishmeder Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shelis, quotes in the name of Rav. Kishem, just as She Misha Nifnas Av Mimatin Besimcha, just as when Av starts, we reduce our Simcha Kach, so too Misha Nifnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. So, too, likewise, when Adar comes, the other end of the year, we marve b'simcha. Rashi says, what was so, why? Because Rashi writes, Yemei nisim hayu li Yisrael. Because those were good days. Just like we said earlier, there's such a thing as bad days and such a thing as good days. So, Av are bad days. But Adar are good days. Rashi says, what's good about Adar? Yemei nisim hayu li Yisrael, Purim u'Pesach. The last word, of course, is a little bit funny. Purim and Pesach. So I guess the good days keep rolling on for at least 6 weeks, at least.
It wasn't the beginning of Adar. It was only a couple of days in Adar, so it makes more sense to say sort of the middle of the month till the middle of Nisan, as opposed to Av, where Av, there was just a lot of more bad things happening in the month of Av than good.
Was something particularly described as happening at the beginning of Av? Or just that it was the middle of a whole decline. It doesn't entirely say. But in Adar, as it happens of all things, it does identify Adar, even from the beginning of Adar. Pasuk describes a chodesh asher napach me'eva liyom tov. The whole chodesh had the quality of being a v'nahafochu. Talmud Yerushalmi makes a big fuss about that, about how the Chodesh Adar, even from the first day of Adar, in theory should be suitable for Kiyasa Megillah, because a Chodesh. So that one is easier to explain actually than Rosh Chodesh Av.
If you make the parallels, we should almost say Mishnechas L'Tamuz, because already the bad thing started in Tamuz,
yeah.
Going into Av, just like Adar going into Pesach.
Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't. So then for some reason they felt that all of this begins in the beginning of Av. Amarapapa, Rapapa says, is there any significance of being told that these are bad luck days? Rapapa says, yeah, Yelkach. You know, we can actually... So what's the practical consequence of this? Hilkach bar Yisrael b'isle dina b'hadi nachri l'shtamit b'nei b'yav t'reya mazlei. If you have a kind of a sifsuch, a court proceedings, an action against the non-Jew, try to avoid having it tried, having the hearing on Av, because it's bad luck for Jews. You're gonna dereya mazlei. So limatzi nafshei v'adar. See if you can have it scheduled for Adar, where it'll be good luck. The bari mazlei. Yeah. But nevertheless, they took it somewhat seriously. So, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes it pretty much word for word, right from this statement. Okay, Gemara has quotes from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, L'seis lachem achris v'tikva. What does it refer to? A kind of a hopeful statement about the Galus. And why is this here? We'll see in a sec. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rashmal bar Shelis Mishmei D'Rav. That's the reason why. Because the same person, Rav Yehuda, Breda Rosh Hashanah, is quoting the name of Rav, has some comment to say about this pasuk. That's very often the tie-in from one passage of Gemara to the next passage of Gemara. Simply, it's the same person that made a remark or a comment about one, as is in the other. It says, Elu dekalim uklei pishtan. This refers to certain kinds of comforts that they would find in Bavel, when they're exiled there. Dekalim, tamarim, lots of tamarim, Rashi says, in Bavel, the Iraqi dates, and clay pishtan, and linen clothes, linen fabric. Vayomer, ey reyach b'ni k'reyach sadash ha-berach Hashem. Another seemingly unrelated maimer chazal, it says, Vayomer. And what was the context of this? Well, this was the blind Yitzchak who is facing his son Yaakov, thinking that he's Esav, when he just walked in, and he says, "Ah, my son, look at the smell on him." Funny expression. Look at the smell on my son. It's kereyach sadesh abercha Hashem. It smells like the fragrant field that Hashem has blessed. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rosh Hashanah b'Hashanah Mishmei D'Rav. What Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rosh Hashanah quotes in the name of Rav, we know what that's referring to. What kind of a sada is it that's so fragrant has to be considered a sada sheberecho Hashem, kereyach sada shel tapuchim, like an apple orchard? I don't know. Many people point out that apple orchards wouldn't necessarily have the type of fragrance that would make you just become all poetical about it. But Tosis over here has a very important remark. Tosis says, Shal tapuchim, b'yesh mefarshim tapuchim are reyach esrogim. Very relevant for today. When you go downstairs, you'll find that that's a very fragrant smell. An orchard of esrogim, that's something that you would say, wow, that's a powerfully fragrant smell. This happens to be, if you think a lot about this, the confusion between apples and esrogim, that's a kind of a very fascinating thing. And there are a number of places where tapuchim are featured, and perhaps it doesn't really refer to tapuchim at all. One place would be in the Haroses, Zecher leTapuchim. Haroses is supposed to be made Zecher leTapuchim, the Gemara Pesachim says, because of in Mitzrayim, Tachas haTapuach or Articha. Well, then the Gemara says, because it's supposed to be like tapuchim, that's why it's Tzarech leKehuye. You have to try to make it a sharp concoction. So what is sharp about apples? Why would if you had to describe one adjective, apples, why would you say lekuhuye? That should be sharp. But if it's esrogim, so then that's more sensible. And then some give a different explanation about Eitz HaDa'as. Right. Why are the Christians depicting the Eitz HaDa'as was an apple? Because one of the opinions in the Medrash is esrogim. It's an esrog tree. Why would you say it's an esrog tree? Because it says that the Eitz is described as nechmad l'mareh v'tov l'machal. And the Targum has on it the mirageg, the mechazi. Now the mirageg is like the shorash of esrog. So it's there's some basis for that whole chain of interpretation. Okay, Turatz. Shabbos shechal tishrei yosef. Let's get into some halacha. It says that the week Shabbos means week. In many cases, in fact, you might even say that today is Yom Rishon b'Shabbos. That's where b'Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean Shabbos. It means of the week. Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, first day of the week. Shechal Tisha B'av Liyos B'socha, the week that has Tisha B'av in it, Asurim L'saper L'chabes. You're not allowed to shave or get haircuts or L'chabes or do laundry. That's what it said in the Mishnah. So now let's explore that these halachos. Amar Rav Nachman as a machlokas against Rav Sheshes. Let's see. Rav Nachman, the Amora from Bavel, says L'shana B'av L'chabes for L'lbosh. Look, obviously when you get a haircut, the effects are immediate. When you do laundry, the effects are not necessarily immediate. So it depends on when you wear the clothes. So does that rule of not doing laundry imply also, well, don't do laundry if you're going to wear the clothes, and the point isn't the laundry? These are all supposed to be indications of, I guess, a velus or something. Doing laundry is not something that necessarily has to be tied to, I don't know, happy living. It's why should being prohibited from doing laundry be appropriate as a commemoration of the week of Tisha B'Av, but not wearing the fresh linen clothes? Okay, that we understand. So Rav Nachman says it's not the doing the laundry that's the problem. It's the wearing the laundered clothes that's the problem. And Rav Sheshes says wrong. You're not even allowed to do laundry, even if you're not going to wear the clothes at that time. You're going to save until after you're allowed to wear fresh clothes. Aser. What in the world would be the basis for the Easter? Why would they have asked such a thing? Rashi says over here, the standard interpretation. Rashi says, afilu l'chabes l'aniach aser, why? Denira kemisiach dato. Because it appears that you're indifferent to the avelus, because there you are going about your ordinary business of washing the clothes. So as to how to translate that into our world, it's a little bit difficult. But nevertheless, the poskim don't seem to have updated this much, and they keep this issue about laundering, even if not wearing, as being a prohibition, at least according to Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman denies that. Let's see how we hold on this. Teida, Rav Sheshes, I'll prove it to you that I'm right, and that the prohibition has always been to launder, not just to wear. Teida, the batli katsri debe rav. Because, you know, the laundry service of Rav's household were always off. They were always closed for that whole time. So why would that be? If they could do the laundry, you just can't wear the clothes. So you see that it's even doing the laundry that is the problem. Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna objected. Masiv Rav Hamnuna objected to Rav Sheshes. He says, hold on a minute, it can't be right. Let's see why. Because he says, you know, it said in the Mishnah that Bachamishim Mutar Pnekvot HaShabbos, that despite the prohibition, on Thursday, the prohibition is lifted out of Kavod Shabbos. So Kavod Shabbos trumps the concern of the Avelus of the Shavua of Tisha B'Av. So it says on Thursday you're allowed. L'mai, what are you allowed to do? Ilei melechabes v'lelbosh. What does it mean? You mean you're allowed to launder and wear clothes on Thursday out of Kavod Shabbos? Mai Kavod Shabbos Ikka. How does that accomplish Kavod Shabbos? Wait until Shabbos then. If you're going to wear them, why are we allowed to wear them on Thursday? Elalahaniyah. So we're not talking obviously wearing the clothes, we're talking about doing the laundry. Now we understand why doing the laundry on Thursday so that you'll have the clothes for Shabbos. So what do you see? That it requires a special heter of chamishi, b'chamishi u'dishari, aval v'shabbos kula asur, but the rest of the week, you're not even allowed to do the laundry at all, even if you're not wearing. That's his raya. Gemara says, well, that doesn't really 100% prove it. Li'olam l'chabez l'lobosh. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe the intent here is that we're talking about even laundering and wearing the clothes, and that's still called kula shabbos. Why? K'she'ein lo ela chaluk echad. Because we're talking about an unusual situation, a person who only has one suit, one chaluk, one shirt, one clothes, one set of clothes. And if you only have one, you're wearing that one for Shabbos, you're wearing that one for Chol, you're wearing that one all the time, and you're going to have to launder that one every so often. And I guess the interval was about from week to week. The Yama Ravasi Yama Rabbi Yochanan, Misha Ein Lo Ela Chaluk Echad. And here we have an indication that that actually matters. The fact that you have only one clothes to wear. Because Rav Asi quotes Rabbi Yochanan that says the following. With respect to a related, a similar prohibition, it's not the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, it's the Chol HaMoed prohibition. It's also prohibition against laundering during Chol HaMoed for other reasons. So it says here, but there's a special exception made on behalf of people who only have one chaluk, because the moed lasts for also for more than a week, and so you have to wash your clothes at least once a week, it says here. Mishein lo ela chaluk echad muter lechavso b'chol moed. So just like that's muter, so that's why the Gemara says, well, perhaps it's the same heter, and that's the context of the statement of a chamish mutarim, the b'nei kvarashas, but it wouldn't apply to regular people who have different clothes for Shabbos, different clothes for the weekdays. Tosis has an important comment here on the side about the notion of having only one set of clothes, that the expectation is that you're only going to be doing laundry when it's, you know, when there are unusual circumstances. Tosis deals with the question about nowadays, and in any case, they finish off with an important point about how little kids who always are getting their clothes dirty all the time, they have the same status, no matter how many clothes they have the status of Ein Lo Ela Chaluk Echad. Because they have to always be laundering their clothes. You know their clothes are going to always need it. And, that's what Tosis make that comment. That's what the post can quote nowadays also. Itmar Nami. Back to the Gemara. Gemara says, as another, this discussion is not over. We have more to say about the question of are we prohibiting laundering or only wearing. Itmar Nami. Gemara says, there's another tradition from other yeshivos among the Amoraim that presented this whole discussion in other ways. Amar Rabbi bin Yamin, Amar Rabbi Elazar. These Amoraim were dealing with the question. Lo shanam elo l'chabes v'lo l'bosh. The case is Rabbi bin Yamin, of course, Rabbi Elazar is saying the same comment that Rabbi Nachman said, that the prohibition was only about wearing laundered clothes. Aval haniach muter. There's nothing wrong with doing the laundry. Me'ezeve, but they attacked him. In other words, meisavei is just the Aramaic word for the Hebrew word meshivim. Meshivim. Meshivim means they reacted, they responded. Now, a response could either be the answer to a question, or if it's just a statement, then it's a kind of a rebuttal of a statement. So we're used to it in that context, that it's the attack against the flat statement that was made. That's how meisavei means that they kind of objected. They raise objection based on a more authoritative source, namely a brisa. It says, "Asu lechabes lifnei Tisha B'Av afilu lahaniach." There you go. They have a brisa that is explicit in the brisa that says you're not allowed to do the laundry before Tisha B'Av, even lahaniach liachar Tisha B'Av, even if you're not going to wear the clothes. So that's the end of the proof, obviously. Even though the brisa keeps going, we're going to see more. But that was the proof. So it's not a surprise that Rabbi Bin Yamin said his statement in ignorance of this brisa. It wasn't as if he ignored the brisa. He didn't know. Brisas are not things that everybody are expected to know, but this brisa, apparently one of the other Amorayim, had this brisa as a Masorah. So that's why, that's pretty conclusive then. So the Yisra Kibos, just like we concluded, well, we didn't really conclude earlier. We left it a little bit open, but now we're pretty much concluding that the prohibition is even Lechabes, Lehaniach, even if you're not wearing the clothes.
Rabbi Yamin is an Amora?
Rabbi Binyamin is the Amora, yeah. Quoting Rabbi Elazar, the Amora also. But then as we have this brisa here, Asala Chabes Lefnei Tisha B'Afila L'Hania. Then it says, V'Gihutz Shelanu K'Kibus Shelahen. Now these are now, I don't know exactly what's happening at this point. We've switched into Amoraim talking, because now we've changed the referent, the place to Bavel. The Gihutz Shelanu K'Kibus Shelahen. Our Gihutz is like their kibus. Apparently there are two kinds of laundering. There was the ordinary laundering called kibus, and then there was a more effective, a more classy, a more finished look.
Dry cleaning.
Right, like dry cleaning. Giyutz shelanu. It could be that giyutz is dry cleaning. It could be giyutz is ironing, pressing. In any case, which of these things is prohibited? So it says here, well, the words are asr l'chabes, so it sounds like kibus is asr. But the statement that's being made over here is that, yeah, but what we mean when we say kibus is not the same as what they mean. When we talk about kibus, we being here in Bavel, the gihutz shelanu is kibus shelahem. When what we call gihutz is what they're talking about when they say kibus. But our kibus is nothing. That's not subject to the prohibition at all. Okay, that's just a claim that the Gemara says. And then a klei pisht, another point, klei pishtan ein b'hem yishum gihutz. Klei pishtan ein b'hem yishum gihutz. And linen clothes are not subject to the gihutz prohibition. I don't know, I guess because it doesn't really take much of a crease or doesn't really become much more clean with the dry cleaning, with the ironing, than at just ordinary laundering. So that wouldn't have been prohibited. In any case, after that whole thing, Tiyufta, the Gemara says, so you see that whole opinion of Rabbi Binyamin is wrong, and the prohibition is clearly even l'chabes ul'haniach, and that's what we hold. And that's what we're familiar with, not doing laundry during the 9 days. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Giori mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, where it tells us a story that once Rabbi Yitzchak bar Giori in Bavel, mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan has a statement, sends word, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, afal pi she'amru klei pishtan ein b'hem yishum gihutz, even though we just said that klei pishtan are exempt from prohibition of laundering, aval asur lelovshan b'shabbos shachat tishrei liyos pesach, but you can't wear freshly laundered linen clothes. Okay, that's a qualification on earlier heter. Amar Rav, new statement. Ravi Amora says lo shanu el lefanav. This is a kind of an important issue, which maybe it may have been more relevant to be brought in the beginning. But in any case, the issue here is this whole rule of what's called in the Mishnah Shavua or Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha, the week of Tisha B'Av. The week of Tisha B'Av, a week, starts on Sunday and ends on Shabbos. So if Tisha B'Av falls out during the week, then that's the week of Tisha B'Av. But do the restrictions end at Tisha B'Av, or do the restrictions continue even past Tisha B'Av? Well, we're all familiar with our understanding of the rule that it ends at Tisha B'Av, or at least soon after Tisha B'Av. But the point is that it doesn't keep going for the rest of the week, but this is not so clear, because the wording is not clear at all. So let's see. I'm a Rav. Rav says, Lo shanu elo lefanav liach Rav Mutter. Rav says, no, it's the week of Tisha B'Av up until Tisha B'Av. Liach Rav Mutter, after Tisha B'Av, the restrictions are off. Shmuel says, where do you get that? That's not true. Afilu liach Rav Nami Yosir. Shmuel says, after Tisha B'Av is also Aser. So before we move on, we're being told, this is Machlokes Rav Shmuel, what's the policy with respect to Machlokos between Rav and Shmuel? There is an official policy that the Goanim formulated and the Rishonim accept, and that it's described in the Seder Tanoim V'Amarayim, and it says, whenever Rav and Shmuel have a Machlokes, Hilchasa K'Rav, all matters of ritual, Isra Heter matters, ritual matters, like this one, Rav wins. So Rav is going to win here, which he does, which is up until Tisha B'Av, but not after. Gemara says, well, hold on a second, Meisive. Hold on, they objected to presumably one or the other, and this, I think it's Shmuel. After all, what do you do with this Braisa? Here's a Braisa. It says, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha. The week of Tisha B'Av, Asr L'Saper, Ulechabes. You're not allowed to get haircuts, you're not allowed to launder clothes. B'chamish mutar in Pnei Kvod HaShabbos, but you're allowed to on Thursday out of Kvod HaShabbos. Ketzah. So let's explore. And let's expand the ruling. Chala yos b'yachad b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, then what are the rules? Then mutar l'chabes kol ha-Shabbos kula. Then it turns out, really, that you can do laundry any day of the week. B'sheni shalish rvi, if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, uba chamishi, or Thursday, l'fan av asher l'yachar av mutar. You're not allowed to do the laundry or haircut until Tisha B'Av, but afterwards mutar. So it's as explicit as it gets. It actually spells it out day by day that it's the prohibition ends in Tisha B'Av. Chala yos b'yachar Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, then mutar l'chabes b'chamishi. Then you have a heter to do the laundry on Thursday, because that was always the way it was. The heter always was to do laundry for Shabbos on Thursday. That was always the way it was. The bnei kvod Shabbos. The imloki base b'chamishi b'shabbos mutar l'chabes b'erev Shabbos. If you didn't do your laundry on Thursday, then all right, we'll let you do it on Tisha B'Av itself, mina mincha l'mala in the afternoon, where things are a little bit relaxed. And then at this point, the Gemara interrupts the brisa to bring us the following message from Abaye. All right, end interruption. It says here, well, maybe you have permission to do your laundry on Tisha B'Av afternoon, on Friday afternoon, if it comes to that, but Abaye would curse you for having to let it come to that situation. Or Rabbi Acham or Rabbi Yaakov. In any case, back to our Braisa. Our Braisa resumes, if Chalios B'Sheni B'Chamishi, if Tisha B'Av falls on Monday or Thursday, Korin Shlosha Maftir Echad, you'd have a full three aliyas, including Maftir. That Lashon is funny. Korin Shlosha Maftir Echad. It doesn't mean three plus one. It means three including one, Maftir. That's what we do. Shlishi Revi, Kori Yachad Maftir Echad. But this first opinion in the first Tana says, but if Tisha B'Av falls out another day of the week, we just have one aliyah. That's the whole Kriyas HaTorah. We just have the one aliyah to read a little and then to maftir. Because the main point, though, that's very clear here, is that the main point is maftir. Just the Gemara Megillah says you can't have just a maftir. You always have to have a leni first and then a maftir. So that's one aliyah. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can never have only one aliyah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Liolam Korin Shalosh Maftir Echad. You always have to have a full three aliyahs. That's what we do. Gemara says, okay, you see that from this long braisa that was quoted over here, Shmuel is wrong. Tiyuftad Shmuel. And that what? Rav is right, that Tisha B'Av terminates the restrictions of the Avelis. Amar lach Shmuel. Shmuel says, well, yes, I can't deny that this braisa is black and white against me, but nevertheless, Tanoihi. But what I said is not wrong, it's just a different opinion among the Tanoim, because I can show you the Tanoim themselves disagreed about this matter. Tanoihi. It's a machlokes of Tanoim, Desanya, because here's a braisa that says the following. Tisha B'Av shechal yos b'Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, okay, an erev Tisha B'Av shechal b'Shabbos. Also, if Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, ochel b'shosa kol tzarko. You know, there's a rule that the seuda right before Tisha B'Av, what we call the seuda hamafsekes, has to be a seuda of mourning. It has to be a mourning seuda that's limited. You're not allowed to have shnei tavshilin. You have to have a limited seuda, and that's, you know, that's why the minhag is that you only have, you know, bread, ashes, and water, or maybe an egg. So Mala al Shabbat, if it's on Shabbos, that's the Seuda right before Tisha B'Av, then for Shalosh Shittos, you shouldn't feel any compunctions against having a lavish Seuda. Mala al Shulchano, afilu kesuda shlomo b'shato. You can have whatever kind of a Seuda you want. There's no restriction. There's no rule of Seuda Mafsekes on the Shabbos, which is right before Tisha B'Av, a Sunday Tisha B'Av. But anyway, it goes on. Okay, so now we get to the different opinions. The Isur against Tisporas and Kibbutz begins from Rosh Chodesh. It goes up until the Tainis. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is obviously explicitly starting restrictions from Rosh Chodesh and finishing on Tisha B'Av itself. Happens to be very familiar to us, because that, for Ashkenazim anyway, this is the Ashkenazi practice. Is it based on Rabbi Meir? I don't know, but oddly enough, you rarely pass like Rabbi Meir in a machlokas hatanayim. So, okay, it's possible that that's what we're based on. But let's see. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol hachodesh kulo asur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the whole month is asur. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer eno asur ela osa Shabbos bilvad. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that only that week is asur. Okay, so that's three opinions here in this first braisa. Another braisa confirming exactly the same opinions. The Noeg Evel. Mirish Chodesh at a tiny stivy Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huud Amer Kalachodesh Kulo, Aser and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amer Eino Aser Ela Osa Shabbos Bilvad. So you have the three opinions. So therefore, when Shmuel says that the Shavua Shachal Tishbe Lios B'Sofa goes the full week, even after Tisha B'Av, it doesn't terminate on Tisha B'Av, well, he certainly is following definitely at least Rabbi Huda's point that the whole month of Av is a velus, and even though he's not necessarily going that far, but at least the week doesn't have to end at Tisha B'Av, and it's even possible that Rishon Gamliel was saying that week even after Tisha B'Av. And Rabbi Yochanan Shlashta Mikra Echadarshu. Rabbi Yochanan says that all three of these opinions can be found alluded to in a pasuk, Dechsiv, pasuk in Hosea, Hishbati Kol Misosa Chaga Chadsha B'Shabbata. The Navi is describing that the time is going to come when things are going to be a disaster, and all of your joy, the Chag, the Chodesh, and the Shabbos, will be sorrowful. So you see, all three time intervals are described. That's called Chaga. That refers to the Chag aspect of Tisha B'Av, having Chag aspect somehow. The rabbi spoke about that a number of times. On the Amar called a Chodesh Kula Aser Mei Chadsha. On the Amar called a Shabbos Kula Aser Mei Shabbata. The Shabbos means the week. And Amar Rava Halacha Gershom Gamliel. Oh, well, good. This is the next thing you're going to pick up on next.
I spoke about the question.